Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Trent talking tech.
Morning, Trent. How are you?
Hello, Mitchell. Yeah, I'm good. You have a good break?
Very good. It's good to be back, but I also had a great time away as well. So it's good to be speaking to you once again.
Yeah.
Hope you had some good chats with Dennis.
We had one in the first week. I had some unfortunate incidents happen last week, and I couldn't actually jump on air for any, but we're all fresh and ready to go again now.
Fantastic. Well, tell us about what's happened with Java for internet browsers.
Yeah, you might have heard there's this software called Java, which is used by some websites to be able to run specific applications when you launch the websites. Trend Micro has actually discovered that they've had a what they call a zero-day vulnerability, which is basically it's a hole in the software that's known by the software vendor or the creator. And it's been exploited by hackers before they've actually managed to patch it themselves. Mm. At this point, we're up to about 3 or 4 days since the initial discovery of the issue. And it's the first big attack on this Java software since 2013. Now, the best way of preventing yourself from being affected by it, if you don't know of anything that uses Java when you're browsing the internet and you've got it installed, the best way to go about preventing it from doing anything to you is to disable it completely, if you can do that. You know, you can jump onto Google and find out, depending upon which browser you use, whether it's Firefox, Chrome, or even Internet Explorer, you know, some steps on how to be able to disable plugins.
Yeah.
So it can't be an issue to you because it's using a bit of a vulnerability that's in one of Microsoft Windows software as well to make it happen on computers. So the best way of going about it at the moment is disabling Java if you don't need to be using it at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, the vendors are working on new releases for you so that they can fix that hole and, you know, everything can get back to normal, considering it's been a few good years since they've had any sort of attacks on them.
So people could just do a Google search, disable Java for Firefox or something like that?
Yeah, most definitely.
And do we know what the vulnerabilities actually mean? I mean, does it mean that they get access to your files? Can they steal your credit card information? How bad is it?
I'm not overly certain on the detail of the attack. But, you know, they're fairly concerned about what it is accessing within the computer system. And to be able to get access to a system is a big enough threat.
Yeah.
Without thinking about what sort of data it's drilling into.
Yeah. So if you've got files on the computer, they could be at risk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's always worth being able to go over your computer if you do think you're concerned with a virus scanning software to see what you can come up with. Make sure you update it as well before you get your scan happening.
Yep. And does Java run on mobile devices like Apple's iOS, or is it only for PCs?
You can run a variant of Java, I think, on Android, although not on iOS.
Right.
iOS seems to be without a lot of these things. They tend to want to almost own the software before they can put it on their devices, or you know, get a real cheap deal at getting it. So most of the people who use iOS devices are going to be unaffected by this vulnerability.
Yeah.
It may also be of concern to someone as a Mac user.
Yes.
You know, you can also temporarily disable the Java software at this point in time until they do release one for both operating systems, and that'll make you feel at ease about the whole situation.
Now, it seems like everyone at the moment has drones and they're using it for all sorts of purposes, but now they're looking at perhaps some of the issues to do with privacy, because I imagine it can fly over people's backyards and all that sort of thing.
Oh, there's all sorts of examples of drone use. I know a couple of mates up north who go racing with them. They have challenges around
whole
building and you know, there's some real estate agencies overseas who use them.
Yep.
And it's of concern to a lot of people as to whether, you know, they're going to fly over your backyard and you're not going to be ready for that sort of thing, and they'll take pictures and you're not sure where those images will get distributed to or whether they'll get saved or whatnot. So One of the government agencies, the NITA over in the US, is having another go at developing some voluntary privacy standards. Now, they're unclear at this stage as to what groups will be involved, but they've said they've received more than 50 comments about drone privacy issues from both individuals and companies. And, you know, people get needlessly upset about drones flying about their neighbourhoods, and so you should, you know. There should be some restrictions in place to prevent, you know, the use getting out of hand. I know we've got a couple of standards over here in Australia by the aviation authorities, but that doesn't actually really extend to privacy concerns. But I guess it's a start, considering the mass uptake of these things.
That's right, and up until now it's been completely unregulated from what I can see, so any regulation that maybe helps people with privacy is a step in the right direction.
It is.
And what about these pictures of Pluto that we've been seeing? Pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, this is great news, the fact that Canberra has been one of the responsible agencies in receiving one of the world's first close-up images of Pluto. CSIRO in Canberra, the Deep Space Communication Complex, has been one of the first agencies to be able to receive very good images. And, you know, they reckon one of their closest encounters will be coming through close to 10 o'clock tonight.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've already seen some close-up pictures, but these will be even more close-up.
Yeah, there's some even closer images that are actually coming through, and it's great, you know. And an Australian agency is one of three in the NASA Deep Space projects to be able to receive these images, you know, with their round-the-clock radio systems.
I suppose it'd be more exciting if Pluto was still a planet. I still remember when it was cut from the list, I think, back in 06.
Yeah, true.
But very good stuff indeed. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Trent. I really appreciate it. We'll catch up with you same time next week.
No worries. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you very much, Trent Geddes, our program technical commentator. His website is trent.net.au, trent.net.au. You can jump on there, look at some of the tech stories that he puts up during the week. I'm sure he's probably put up some pictures of Pluto, or if he hasn't, he probably will in the near future. So if you've been one of the few that has missed out on some of those incredible images that we've seen coming through overnight, it's just jumping on there and having a bit of a look.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.